Hello, this is the September 21st, 2020 Strategic Planning Committee meeting. My name is James Sagerton. I am standing in temporarily for Alex Steinberg, our chair, who is indisposed at the moment. And I believe we've reached quorum. Grace, would you be willing to take the role?
Yes.
Do you have that?
I think I have it. I think so. Okay, I'll take the role from memory. Alex Steinberg is not here. James Sagerton?
Here.
Okay. Vanessa Dixon Briggs? Vanessa? Heather Gray?
Here.
Good. Lyndon Foley?
Here.
Good. Lawrence Reyes?
Present.
All right. Robin Collier emailed to say he wouldn't be able to make it. And so did Tom Voorhees. And who else do we have on this committee? Oh, Dwayne Lark. Dwayne, are you on the call? I don't hear Dwayne.
Lydia is on our list as well.
Oh, Lydia. Lydia Brazon? Okay, don't hear from her. So we have James, Heather, Lyndon, Lawrence, and Grace on the call. I believe we have quorum.
Yeah, that's quorum.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Grace.
You're welcome.
So, we have quorum. Does everybody see the agenda? It was sent out at 8:30 p.m. this evening, the latest edition.
James, Dwayne is on the call.
Oh, good. Hi, Dwayne. Dwayne, just to catch you up, Alex is indisposed at the moment. He should be joining us shortly, so everyone else having declined, I'm chairing until Alex gets here.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Dwayne. And we had an agenda. The latest version, I think, came at 8:30 p.m., if everybody can look at that. So we've convened the meeting. Now we want to approve the agenda. So I'll go ahead and read the agenda.
Thank you, James.
You're welcome. No worries, Lawrence. Appreciate all that you do. So we're convening the meeting and roll call. 2 minutes. We did that. Approve the agenda. 5 minutes. That's what we're about to do. Approve minutes. 2 minutes. Continuation of discussion on underwriting. Postponed until this meeting. 30 minutes. Discussion of strategic plan, 45 minutes. New business, 5 minutes. And I think I'm going to suggest that we make new business number 7 and number 6 be a conversation about podcasting. That's the subject that Alex wanted me to. He suggested that I put together a motion because he was on the road, but I was doing that when I was asked to chair. So if nobody objects, I'll put that in as number 6, and then number 7 will be new business, and then adjourn at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Why don't we see if there's any objection to that, and then we'll see if anybody wants to amend. Is there any objection to the agenda? Hearing none, we'll consider that approved. Is there anyone who would like to add to the agenda or make changes or improvements or additions? Hearing none, let's go ahead to approving the minutes. Now, I don't know if I don't see with the agenda the minutes attached. Has anybody seen the minutes?
Well, James, we don't have a secretary, so I don't think
so. We're not okay. So that's just a pro forma item there.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll skip that. Perhaps when Alex gets here, he'll have some minutes from the previous meeting. So let's go straight to number 4 then. This is a continuation of the discussion on underwriting. And I guess this is just a general discussion, picking up where we left off. Does anybody have anything they want to start off with?
James, Lawrence to the back.
Go ahead, Lawrence.
Yeah, I believe there was one of the reasons it was postponed to this meeting was because there was two motions, and we didn't get any consent in regards to what motion we were going to entertain. So I'm wondering if, for the edification of the stream and the listeners that are listening, if you could read those two motions. I will read them for you, but I'm driving. I'm sorry, James.
Okay. I apologize myself, but I don't have it, and I don't really want to go off the agenda to go search for it. Does anybody have them handy? Okay, not hearing anyone having that handy.
Duane may have one of them.
Duane, was one of them yours? Do you have any of that?
I'm driving.
Oh, okay. Well, perhaps we could just have a general discussion. I mean, basically we need to resolve some of the questions that came up last time. I think, you know, it's allowed, we can have a general discussion without having a motion necessarily to discuss, but we would need to arrive at some kind of consensus in any case. So does anybody want to open with any initial conversation? I think let me lay out this little bit of background. We're talking about underwriting, and for the benefit of people listening, underwriting is where you get a sponsor who's willing to sponsor a certain amount of time or a certain program on one of the stations, one or more of the stations, and they pay an amount of money. And what they get in return for that is like a 15-second or 30-second spot where they say who they are and that they're underwriting this program. It's not like an advertisement. They're not allowed by, I think, FCC rules. They're not allowed to promote themselves and say how wonderful they are or, you know, say come and buy our products. They just announce who they are. And actually, I'm thinking now of programs I've seen on our PBS station, and I think I remember seeing a Mercedes taking a corner or something along those lines, but maybe I'm thinking of a commercial. But anyway, there are limitations on underwriting. It's not blatant advertising, although it is said that companies view underwriting as another form of advertising. And that was, so we have several ideas about that. One idea is the purist view, which I lean towards, and I think others on the committee lean toward, which is not to have advertising of any kind, including underwriting. And then there's the idea that we had one motion that would propose to have a modest experiment in underwriting at one station to do just an experiment to see if it could work out. And then there was another proposal to do more full-blown underwriting, probably at all of the stations, and, you know, get on board as fast as we can to use it to raise as much money as we can. And so there are some philosophical differences here. There were some practical concerns raised as to what we are doing, some limited underwriting at KPFK, and that seems to be struggling and perhaps even losing a little bit of money, according to one of our members. There's a question as to how effective it would be. And then there's another notion that, you know, we are in financial need and we need to do everything and anything that we can, and that there's no moral compromise, because if, as long as we are moral people and we don't allow the underwriting to affect our content, then it won't happen. And so there is no, under that argument, there is no slippery slope, and it's, we shouldn't be overly concerned about that, and we should proceed. So I'm sure I did an inadequate job of laying that out, and I'm sure that the proponents of the various positions will improve upon what I've said. Does anybody now want to correct me or add to what I've said?
This is Vanessa to the stack, please.
Go ahead. Let's see if we can get a little stack. Is there anybody else who wants to be on the stack? Maybe people will want to respond to what you say, Vanessa. Go ahead.
Okay, well, first, I think you did a fine job recapping. I think that was a fine job. No corrections on my part. I will say that clearly, as you said, people are kind of in their camps. They're either completely against it as a principle or maybe against it but willing to consider it because of the financial straits, or, you know, see nothing wrong with it. In my mind, it is a form of advertising. And I think that after listening to the discussions, I've never been in the never advertised, like, you know, never underwrite. I don't think I've ever really been in that camp. But so I think I'm more at this point inclined to agree with the people who say, let's try it in some form of fashion. I'm really not sure what that would look like. The only market I really know is the DC market. And I know that there are some organizations, like there's a restaurant, Bus Boys and Poets, and that owner is extraordinarily supportive. He's a major donor to PFW, and he's extremely supportive of other progressive causes. So I don't know if a set of criteria could be written that this is the type of entity that if we're going to engage in underwriting, maybe if that entity has an event, maybe there are, you know, certain types of events we would be willing to, as an exchange of information, you know, they would pay to say, this is our event, please come to our event. This is the type of event that we believe would be appreciated by, you know, your listeners, and we're willing to pay to promote that information. Maybe, you know, just starting with a set of criteria as some sort of a starting point, you know, rather than saying absolutely not or absolutely yes, but hey, if we're going to look at it, maybe this is what it would look like.
Thank you, Vanessa. I'm going to put myself on the stack to respond to that briefly. To say that
Lawrence,
we do know that there are FCC rules, so obviously one place to begin with that would be to look at what the existing rules are, and then whatever we come up with for our own guidelines would need to fit within that. So that's just one thought, and I'm going to go ahead then and take you, Lawrence, and I'll save my comments until you're done. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, James. I appreciate you sharing too, stepping up to do that. So I have a tendency to agree with Vanessa. I am totally against underwriting, but I won't mind doing some research, and I think the motion to have a pilot station is it's maybe that's the opportunity to do something like that. But I'd like to definitely hear from the body on that. So, but that's the tendency I'm having right now. As you know, I'm one of the people that, you know, that don't approve of underwriting, but I think we have to take a look at everything right now. Thank you, James.
Thank you, Lawrence. Okay, now I'm going to make the comment that I had before, and it's a slight change from where I was when I initially said in the previous meeting, and I just said it now, that I'm leaning toward opposing underwriting. I spoke to my general manager at WBAI about it, and he put it to me in a very interesting way in which I had not considered it. And he said, and I encourage everyone to do this, not putting any names into this. And for people who are from PFW or other stations who don't do much in the way of pitching or using premiums in their fund drives. I understand WPFW doesn't use premiums very much, at least not the kind that we do at WBAI and KPFK. But for the people who are familiar with the premium-based model of fundraising, think of your least favorite, absolute worst that you can think of, pitch. Your least favorite person pitching, or your least favorite product or item that they pitch, or service that they pitch, the thing that you hate the most, and think of that going on for a half an hour or an hour, and compare that to, you know, Three Sisters Organic Restaurant down the street having a 15-second line that says that they are underwriting the following hour of radio production. That kind of put it in a new light for me, and it made me think about it in a slightly different way. So that's just a little addition there. Anybody else for the stack?
This is Heather. I'd love to be on the stack as well.
Yes, Heather, please. We appreciate that. So Heather and Dwayne, anybody else? Let's start with Heather then.
Well, I just, you know, I wish I knew that, you know, earlier actually, that we were going to be talking about underwriting, because I could have better prepared for it. But just sitting here talking to folks, I was looking on my computer to, because we underwrite at our station, right? And
yes.
There is very strict criteria that you know, that underwriters have to follow. I mean, like, underwriters shall have no control, rights of ownership, or privileges relating to content of underwriting programs or the general operations of programming, etc. I could send some of this to everyone, but we could also get it from various media entities about what the underwriting can do. But I tell you, what I found when we started doing this years ago, it was wonderful because we were reaching out to the community. And I've mentioned this at some board meetings before, excuse me, but I remember years ago somebody said to me, "Oh, Heather, I am eternally grateful to WRFG because were it not for your radio station, I would never have known about this small business in East Atlanta," whatever. I'm just using that as an example. But it's a wonderful opportunity for people in the radio station to reach out to small businesses, to various communities, and find out what's happening there, you know, explore opportunities that might be possible with the business associations. All of the communities in Atlanta have business associations. I know it's a struggle right now given COVID and so forth, but it's, I think, apart from some of the financial benefit you get from having some underwriting, it's an incredible way to reach out to the community altogether and provide support for small businesses, which I think that community radio should be doing. We provide information about issues, of course, that are relevant to the community, but part of the community is also small businesses, in my opinion. So anyway, that's enough for me right now. But I
have
the information. Some of the programs,
yes,
or some of the material we've developed, I'm going to send it out to folks. Absolutely. Thanks, James.
Please do that. And any citation you might have that would refer us to the FCC rules would be very helpful. Of course, we can all look that up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, good. All right.
Thank you, Heather. Dwayne, are you done, Heather?
I am. Thank you.
Good. Thank you very much. That was very good. Dwayne?
Okay. Well, I guess it's no secret that I am a proponent for underwriting, and I make no excuses for it. I accept the fact that some people have a problem with it, but what I don't accept is that they don't have any alternative funding modality. And many of them have been around for difficult for a number of years. And it would appear to me that, as my great philosopher, of my life, my dad always said to me and to my siblings, I even share it with my grandchildren, that if you're going to not support something, or if you're going to tear something down, or if you're going to destroy something, as I told a Republican group here in Houston in 2000 when they were running a referendum against affirmative action to undo it, and they wanted to recruit me for my great whatever. And I told them, well, you know what? I'll tell you something I told my dad. What do you have as an alternative for affirmative action? Because I'll be glad to dismantle it. But give me something that's better or at least equal to it. And so they tucked their tails and ducked and ran. So my frustration is that now, just being on this board for 2 years and some months, that a number of people who are adamantly against this vehicle have had every opportunity, in my opinion, over the years to come up with new modalities of creating funds for this foundation, and yet they haven't. And in my opinion, I believe that there are no hard FCC rules. If you just take the time and go to the FCC website, spend a little time there. It's just like any website, and put in that word. And not only that, just put in the Google FCC rule on that word for community or nonprofit radio stations. It doesn't take a whole lot of effort. But what I found in my own experience, 37 years in radio, commercial as well as non-commercial, is that you generally want to find out what happens in your local signal area, because the FCC is just like any government entity. It's just like federal prosecutors. Federal prosecutors will focus on certain crimes in New York that in the Southern District, it's not even that much of a focus. Something else is a focus. And the FCC is no exception. And I repeat, to those of you who have not had experience with the FCC, which I think, with the exception of the engineer that's in the committee, I don't believe many others have had experience with the FCC. But fortunately, I had to study FCC rules to be licensed, when you had to be licensed to be a broadcaster on the radio. And the rules haven't changed that much, other than the Reagan Doctrine, of which some of you may be familiar with, may not be familiar with. But my most important point is that all across this country, there are actually commercials going on. As James, you alluded to, the FCC does not preclude nonprofit radio stations from broadcasting commercials. It's going on many stations, including those on university campus. So it doesn't take a lot of research. It just takes some effort. And I want to get over my frustration by just challenging those who are against it to suggest one or two other modalities. Because the arguments that I've heard from one of our members is that it's not cost effective, that it costs more than it brings in. That's just simply not true. And the example I give is KPFC, which I am going to request through a motion at some point that it be allowed to do this experiment that some even saying are willing to allow. And the parameters are pretty simple. I mean, yeah, you might have to codify what Heather had just said, but it's just common sense. You don't let anyone come in and control your content and tell you what to do because they're donating. It's no different than allegedly we have hundreds of thousands of dollars being donated to one of our local stations. I see that as a pretty much what we're talking about, because they generally, those hundreds of thousands of dollars that donated to probably a very concentrated amount of people help control the board by getting to a controlling the station, and yet the hypocrisy that I witness is just disheartening. So finally, I would suggest that we get over the allegations and the things that we think. But KPFC had an example that was working. $10,000 a month was coming in, which now would cover half of its deficit. And the persons who were involved in it and participated in it were being paid commission, not a salary. And I think that is one of the modes by which best way for a nonprofit station to generate funds outside of a development director vis-a-vis the development employees, that you actually have people who go out, solicit, and get paid a commission, because 80% or 70% of something is always going to be 0% of nothing. And I'll leave it at that, but maybe it'll be time to come back with additional comments.
Dwayne, this is the chair. Could I ask for a point of clarification about the people who go out and solicit? They would be soliciting memberships or donations. What would they be soliciting again?
They would be soliciting this word that I have a block because people have a problem with it. But the discussion we're having here is that we have a program that is being supported by a business, or at least that business owner. Many times they're sole proprietorships. Sometimes they're LLCs and S-Corps like I own. And they say, you know, this is a great show. So I tell you what, just mention the name of my business, my location, and you can kind of leave it at that to not make it a commercial. You don't drive people to a location. You just tell them that this business, whether it's XYZ Restaurant, is a sponsor of this show. And they're located at 3615 Live Oak. And you leave it at that. You can give a telephone number, but you don't do like commercials. Come by and see. Go try their food and this and this and that. And then you very well could have groups, organizations that would help sponsor a show. Sierra Club comes into mind. Who's got here locally in Houston, 40,000 members and thousands of dollars in membership and revenue. And they may say, well, the Sierra Club provides funding for this show, and the Sierra Club is a 100-year organization that has been doing great things for the environment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, what again is frustrating is that at KPFT, and I'm when I hear you, James, talk about these wares that are being sold pretty much, promoted, marketed, over WBI airways, and I heard it's been done over some other airways. We don't have that at KPFT. That is actually more anathema than the subject that we're talking about, that you literally talking about some snake oil and selling some snake oil over our airways. That's far from what I'm talking about and what other stations are talking. In fact, if that doesn't violate the FCC, ain't no way you can argue what I'm proposing would violate the FCC. My goodness.
Well, just to respond briefly, and then I'll ask if anyone else wants to be on the stack. I find everything you're saying interesting, but I think the way that we, the way that's handled is it's the same way that the PBS stations, television stations handled, or radio stations. They call it a thank you gift. So even though it sounds like an infomercial and you are providing a product or a service or something else after it's being talked about and promoted for an extended period of time, then they say it's a thank you gift, which I admit at times seems a little thin. Okay, anyone
Hi,
else?
James, this is Heather. I'd like to just mention one other thing, if that's okay.
Absolutely. We have time.
I'm looking at this form that we created just a few years ago, and we got it, you know, information from the FCC. But, okay, so I'm just going to read a little bit of this. So the commission permits underwriting announcements and donor acknowledgement of for-profit entities which do not promote the underwriter's product, service, or facility. Below are several examples of underwriting announcements which violate these criteria. Okay, announcements containing price information. This includes any announcement concerning the rate of interest or other indication of savings or value associated with a product. Another violation is announcements containing a call to action. Another violation is announcements containing an inducement to buy, sell, rent, or lease. And another one is announcements containing comparative or qualitative language. So those are things that violate. So, but the commission permits public broadcasters to air underwriting announcements and donor acknowledgments which identify for-profit entities and their products, services, and facilities. The identification may include the location and telephone number of the business, a value-neutral description of a product, line, or service, brand or trade name, logos, and product or service listings which do not contain qualitative or comparative language. I know people would rather read this than have me read it like this, so it'll hopefully make more sense. But anyway, I just wanted to share some of that with you all.
Oh, that was very helpful. I appreciate you reading that. I mean, this is a general discussion, and so we're kicking it around. I do want to mention that WBAI is very careful, especially about mentioning prices. Strictly, you know, not allowed to do that. And I'm sure, you know, some of the other things we're also not allowed to do and don't do. Do you happen to know, or maybe Dwayne, do you happen to know, do you need to make an application to do this, or is this something that you can just start to do, and as long as you don't break the rules, you're good to go?
There is no application. There is no getting approval from the FCC to do such. I think sometimes entities that are concerned about whether they're crossing the line may do an inquiry to the FCC, but it would seem to me the FCC would tell them, we don't give legal advice, and that you need to consult a communications attorney, you know, if you want some legal advice. But the guidelines that are given, I think a moron, in my opinion, can read them and know what the parameters are. But always you're going to have people who go over the line, and that's when I said before and I'll say it again. The FCC does not monitor radio. There has to be a formal complaint by either a listener, a competitor, or someone from the public. Then they investigate it.
Vanessa, to
yes,
the back.
I have heard that before, and I just wanted to add that I think, and perhaps Grace, you'd like to comment on this at some point. We would sort of have to self-monitor ourselves. I think you had made the point that that may be difficult. I'd be curious to hear what your response to that is. And thank you, Vanessa. Go ahead.
So,
I'd like
a couple
to be on the
points.
Stack later, I guess.
Who was that?
Grace.
Oh yeah. Come back later. That's fine. I'll just let Vanessa go.
Okay, so a couple points. The thing that I think really helped me to make up my mind about this, I mean, I listened to the two sets of arguments, the antis and the, hey, you know, we need to do something, so why not try this, without really, really having a firm opinion. I think what helped me to really land on one side of that argument is that I heard a local station, it's in the Baltimore, it's community radio, more in the Baltimore area than the D.C. area, and they had the most beautifully messaged invitation for what they call their community partners to, I don't recall the terminology that they use, underwrite, advertise, to join with them, to join in partnership with them, and I thought that message, the way they framed it, just made the case beautifully for the type of invitation that they were extending to community organizations and businesses. So I don't know what their criteria might be, but I thought they almost really made a case for why underwriting is a good thing. So that's what helped me to make up my mind. Two, PFW does do blocking on the word premiums all the time. I don't think of them as advertising. I guess it depends on how premiums are done. But it's usually an incentive to make a contribution. Somebody's book, somebody's tape, you know, something like that. I've never seen them offer, like, you know, to a restaurant or some sort of service that would be an advertisement of a business. I've never seen it done that way. That, it could have been. I've just never seen that. And Grace, I think it was Grace, said that one of the stations is underwriting and they're losing money. So I just wanted to ask Grace how that's happening, how they're losing money. And the last thing is I'd like to make a motion for us to develop a subcommittee to develop some criteria. I don't know if that'll be seen as too far down, too much of a step back from the pilot program that was being discussed, but it seemed that that sort of became controversial almost immediately. So maybe this is a step back from that that'll help us to go forward without getting stuck in place. So that's the motion I'd like to make to develop some criteria.
Okay, are you making that motion now, or do you want to?
Yes.
Okay, what I'm going to ask if we could do, because we are out of time, can we get a motion to extend? We've been on this for half an hour, and that's what we had allocated.
I move that we extend for 10 minutes.
Thank you, Lyndon. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Vanessa. Any objection? Hearing none, we're extended for 10 minutes. Okay, and do you want to try to, Grace, are you able to take down a motion? Or Vanessa, can you put your motion in writing? And
I am still moving around. I can do it in maybe 10 minutes. I don't know if that'll be soon enough.
I can take it down. Actually, thank you, Grace. I started to take minutes for this meeting. I'm not going to be secretary
that.
For this committee, but I'm willing to take the minutes for this meeting.
That's understood, and we thank you very much, Grace.
Okay, so let me get my computer.
Yeah, I wonder why I just automatically thought to ask you if you might be able to do that, Grace.
I wonder why. Okay, Vanessa, you want to dictate your...
Go ahead.
No, I thought she said she had to wait 10 minutes, but that was if she was going
to
do it.
For me to
now
do
that
it,
you're
exactly.
doing it, we can go ahead.
Exactly. Yeah. So no, the essence of it is to create a subcommittee that would develop some criteria for underwriting. If anyone can perfect upon that, I invite them to do so. That's my basic motion.
Hi, this is Alex. I'm back on the call, just letting you know.
Oh, wonderful, Alex. Are you ready to take over as chair?
No, I can't really chair. I'm in a car.
Oh, you're still in the car. Okay.
Okay, I have the motion. Vanessa Dixon Briggs makes a motion that the Strategic Planning Committee creates a subcommittee that would create some criteria for underwriting.
Yes.
Lawrence, with a point of information? I'll be requesting information.
Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you. So, is this an internal... it's just an internal motion that doesn't have to go to the P&B. It's just staying here with the committee?
That's my intent, yes.
Okay, thank you.
I'm good. Thank you, James.
Thank you, Lawrence. I'm going to ask for discussion on the motion, and also, I guess, if Vanessa, you'd like to motivate it first.
Well, as far as I am concerned, hopefully the comments I've already made, hopefully will serve as motivation for just simply developing some criteria, since the motion to have a pilot project doesn't seem to be going anywhere and really seem to raise, you know, concerns by people who have those concerns. So maybe this is just one little step back, but actually a way to move forward in the long run and just see what we get by just developing a set of criteria.
Understood. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Are there any objections to the motion?
Okay, well, that would be a question that I should ask. So let me just ask, is there any further discussion before we ask that question?
This is Grace. I'd like to make some comments generally about
this. I'm sorry,
this.
Dwayne was speaking. I want to just see, make sure I heard him. What were you saying, Dwayne?
I think that question would have answered itself, but since Grace wants to, she's already answered the question, so go forward.
Okay.
Okay. So what I'd like to say is this. First of all, I forwarded an earlier email from Alex that has a bunch of attachments regarding underwriting, past wording for motions on underwriting, some criteria for underwriting, FCC rules and regulations, things like that. I sent it to this everyone on this committee. What I'd like to say is that, first of all, the KPFK experience, we've been doing a form of underwriting that would generally probably be acceptable to most people on the PNB and in this committee. It's mostly community events. We've been doing it for about 4 years. It has been running at a loss. I believe it got brought in a total of about 22 or something thousand in 2019, and the staff costs, the staff time put into it. There's a half time of a full time staff member, and also a part time assistant who have been working on it almost exclusively for those hours. So it's running at a considerable loss because there's a great deal of administration that goes into this type of thing, the creation of cards, the making sure you get payment for the underwriting spots, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it has not been profitable at KPFK. The other thing, and if it's been profitable, I'm fine. If it's been profitable elsewhere, I'd like to see documentation of that. The next thing is, I understand that some stations really are interested in going ahead with this, and I'd just like to see a motion that comes forward. There have been some motions that have been draft motions that have come to this committee and others in the past that I think were sent to the PNB. I'd like to see them worked on so we get criteria for underwriting, not just accepting underwriting blanketly. There should be some criteria for it. Personally, I think it's a really bad time to consider underwriting because radio stations across the country have been hit very heavily with a decrease in underwriting. In fact, one of our NPR stations here in LA saw a 60% decrease in underwriting in the last since the beginning of the year, 60% decrease. So this is not really the greatest time to start this type of a project. It's true that I am interested in finding sources of revenue for the foundation, but this, from what I can see, would not be a source of revenue.
the costs of doing the program would be greater than the revenue generated by the program from everything that I can tell about it. But I wouldn't be necessarily opposed to a pilot project with very specific criteria, but I don't think that it's good timing for this. And I just don't think, and there has been a slippery slide in media when corporate underwriting has been entered into PBS stations and to other public radio stations. The content, the political content has degenerated and gone more to the center, because once the station gets addicted to corporate underwriting, they are influenced by the desires, and then the corporates, people from the corporation put people on the boards. According to an interview with Ralph Nader, they tend to put people on the boards that are from the corporations that are giving the stations underwriting. The average NPR station gets 18% of its revenue from underwriting. So it's a powerful influence. And we see where NPR stations have moved. They've moved to the right over the years, in my opinion. And they don't cover controversial subject matter. So I see the benefit for a community radio station to have underwriting for community businesses. I understand that. I don't think it would bring much revenue in, according to Tom Voorhees, who is very familiar with affiliates, because he travels all over the country fixing their transmitters for them. And he said that very little income is brought in. The average amount that's brought in from community underwriting is about 2% of revenue. So it's not a huge revenue generator. I think Robin Collier can...
Time check.
Okay.
I'd like to know how much time
But I think that to summarize, I think that a motion should be worked on and agreed on by the subcommittee and brought back to this committee and then presented to the PNB.
Dwayne,
I agree with
deck.
Vanessa about forming a subcommittee.
Okay, Dwayne, I'm going to recognize you in just a second. I just wanted to, when you said time check, it caused me to check the time on this item, and we are now out of the 10 minutes that we extended for. So I want to know if someone would like to move to extend, and then I'll recognize Dwayne.
Move to extend for 5 minutes.
Thank you. Is there a second? We don't need a second. Is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll extend for 5 more minutes. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Okay, thank you. Well, there was a lot said by the previous speaker, and I totally disagree with everything said, and I would ask the speaker to, instead of asking others to document, I would like to see her documentation, since she's been saying this for now months. I'd like for her to produce the documentation that the station that she refers to that are losing money on this effort. And I find it very strangely believable that if you have someone who is on staff and their only duty are to do underwriting, I could see where that would be a loss leader, because I don't believe any station that does underwriting. I give you an example. If you just take Tom's extensive knowledge in place and you accept it for face value, I have extensive knowledge as well. And here in Houston, for instance, there are two states that they make 30% of their revenues, which is about $4 million a year, from this effort. So it's okay to say some things.
Dwayne, this is the chair. Dwayne, you're breaking up a little bit. Can you get closer to a microphone? I know you're driving.
Okay, I stopped driving. I'm actually in a parking lot, because this
response I'm giving, and I hope I'll be given at least a modicum of time, as the previous speaker did, to undo some of this that was said, because there's no proof. There's no documentation. And as far as I've heard again say that this is the worst time, oh, quite contrary. This is the best time. In fact, we need it the most, if we've ever needed it. The fact that there are medium-sized and small businesses that are struggling so that our airways could actually turn people on to them who are conscious and who believe in our mission and who kind of have a similar mission when in terms of who they donate to and what they stand for, even though they may be providing a service that many of our listeners use but don't know they exist. And as far as corporations, that's just a buzzword to me, because, as I said, I have a corporation, but my corporation don't generate more than $100,000 a year. I know others who have C corporations that generate $2 or $3 or $4 or $5 million a year, but they're still one single member owned, because people create corporations so that they don't get sued, because this country is so litigious. And if I could just go down the line of what the previous speaker said, I could take it apart with and some take KTSU for example, which is a university station, receives 30% of its revenue from, at the end of its jazz program, its urban music program, it'll come on and before and after and say, this program has been brought to you in part by Johnny Future's Barbecue, or whatever. Mucky Duck is what we kind of promote at KPFT all the time, and they probably give us a ticket or two to give away. I believe that it's one thing to be against something, but it's quite another to pull something out of the hat and say why you're against it, but you don't have proof on paper as to, number one, that it doesn't generate revenue, and if you do have personnel that is geared to this, that's a lost lead in the first place. I said the template we use are volunteers who basically get paid a commission, which means that there is no administrative cost to you. And as far as PSAs, there are basically no PSAs. These are generally live, or if it is a PSA, guess what? There's a production cost that the entity pays, which again is revenue. So I can refute all that was said in terms of why not to do this. And as far as Tom's example, I don't know what size stations those are that he would be referring to, but out of the thousands of stations that exist in the United States, only a few have the capacity, bandwidth, and potential listenership that ours do, because we're in metropolitan areas. So to compare a station that's got 5,000 watts or 10,000 watts or even 20,000 watts that can't even reach one-tenth of the people and the space we reach, it's not a fair comparison at all. So I'll take it down the line the next time, but for the sake of time, I'll let it go.
Okay, thank you, Wayne.
We are out of time, and I'm going to suggest I myself have a couple of real brief points I'd like to make, and I hear Vanessa. Is there anybody who would like to extend?
Alex.
Hi, James.
Hi, this is Alex.
Alex, are you moving to extend? We need to extend time.
Okay. How much do you want to extend? 5 minutes?
I think five. I'd go for 10, but let's see what the committee wants. Anybody have a thought?
10 would be more than enough.
Do you hear me? Hello?
I'm sorry. No, who's saying do I hear them?
Yeah, Lawrence. I've been trying to get on back forever. And James,
sorry, Lawrence. That's the first time I heard you. I apologize.
I'm sorry, but I have some difficulty with you commenting after every comment. I think that's too much bite at the apple. Anyway, so I'd like to be on the stack.
Okay, I'm going to defend myself briefly on that. I haven't commented after every comment. I have put myself on the stack to comment a couple of times, and I thought we were having a congenial discussion, and it was wide-ranging, and I thought it was productive, and I'm sorry if you don't feel that my comments were helpful, but
I'm not saying they weren't helpful. I'm just saying they're frequent.
Yeah, I understand your point. I get it. So, as I said, I'm going to put you on the stack, Lawrence, and I put myself on the stack, but I will wait until Lawrence, and was there anybody else who had wanted to be on the stack?
Alex is
next, and then Vanessa, and I'll go last, but I don't think we're going to get this in 5 minutes.
We won't.
So, but anyway, let's see where we get.
Okay, go ahead, Alex.
Yep.
Okay, yeah. Sorry to have missed a lot of this meeting. Folks, just in response to the last comment, I think I understand where Dwayne is coming from. He wants to see an infusion of new revenue into his station, and certainly badly needs it. I just think it's an illusion to think we're going to make any major revenue from underwriting. I did propose a very restricted form of underwriting in my original proposal. I think that might work in some stations and on a pilot basis, and we possibly could see a very modest increase. But overall, I think this whole issue is being blown way out of proportion. I think we really have to set our priorities in a different direction. We have a task at hand to come up with a major recovery plan, and that includes some what I think is more serious considerations for sources of revenue and what we're going to do to tackle the loan we have. We had a very interesting proposal from Lyndon that came to us a few days ago. I wish we could have had a discussion on that. And we also need a discussion on podcasting, because I think this is potentially a huge source of revenue that we have not touched at all, and that NPR stations are really making a big deal out of, and there's no reason we can't either. And we have to seriously discuss what options we have for the loan. While I still support some kind of limited underwriting, I think Vanessa's idea is the way to go. Let's get our criteria straightened out and take it slow on that. But overall, I just think we need to a lot more time to the major issues we have. And this is not, in my opinion, a major issue. Sorry. Bye.
Okay. Thank you, Alex. Now we have Lawrence.
Thank you. And at this point in time, I believe that we have to have all hands on deck. We also have to put everything on the table. And there are some things I'd like to put on the table that we haven't put on the table. The fact is that any revenue that comes in is revenue we don't have. And I understand at times we have to spend money to get money, right? And I think that's what Grace is saying, because we had a fundraiser that made money, but it made more money than we invested. So I consider that a wash. Now, I do believe in community grassroots events that are cause-driven, right? And what I mean by cause-driven, there are a lot of causes out there right now that we could partner with that would bring us not only subscriptions, but also a little cash that we don't have right now. So if this project does bring in a little cash, which is cash we don't have on hand right now, and I agree with Alex, we have bigger fish to fry, especially the FJC loan. We have to really address that, because April will be here before we know it. So I completely agree with that. But I also agree that that we have to develop, we have to have a pilot program, because there are stations that are doing it, whether it's a pseudo call for action, or whether it's announcing that there's going to be a protest, or announcing, I know one of the things that Kay does a lot is it promotes the Scobo Cultural Center. It promotes Ford Amphitheater.
you know, and they do that by including them in the fund drives, partnering them with the fund drives, and with tickets and with events and culture events and all of that. So that is already being done. Now, I completely support Vanessa's approach to developing a pilot program and accepting some sort of limited money, but I agreed also that there needs to be some criteria. And I think, you know, Dwayne has been sounding the horn on this because it could potentially bring in a new stream of revenue. But I think that's something that we should definitely consider in our conversation. But I like the idea, and I'd like to be part of that working group that Vanessa is suggesting in her motion to develop some sort of criteria. But I don't want to dismiss Dwayne's concept either. Thank you, James.
Thank you, Lawrence. And now, Vanessa, I'm just going to run out the stack, Vanessa and myself, and because we're going to be out of time. Go ahead,
okay,
Vanessa.
Just three quick points. One, underwriting does not have to be a major source of revenue in order to be worthwhile. I think that really goes to what Lawrence just said. It's money we don't have. We generate any money, it's money we don't have. The concerns that were raised by Grace, hopefully in the process of developing criteria, we could look at those experiences that you know Grace talked about as lessons learned, and maybe develop some best practices around those lessons that could then be incorporated into the criteria. I had a third point. I don't remember, so it must not have been important, so I'll let it go with the two.
Not necessarily so, but I appreciate that. It happens to me all the time. I'll say a couple things very, very quickly. One is I'm glad Alex got to mention podcast income because that is an alternative source of potential income. And there's also website advertising, which we're allowed to do as a nonprofit. And I think I've mentioned in the past in other contexts that WBAI was tasked by the PNB to come up with sustainability plans when we were having so much difficulty making our ends meet. And I think I should take upon myself to dust off those plans and see if there are, I know there were some ideas in there for where to get some additional income. And just one final comment, and then I think we have to go to a vote on Vanessa's motion because we're almost out of time. The final comment is, as I recall the history, in 1994, when there was a shift of party in the control of Congress to the Republicans, they were threatening to make a move on the funding for public broadcasting, et cetera. And that was a large source of the shift to the right. I'm just throwing that out there as another potential source of the shift to the right, other than underwriting for the editorial type or subject matter content for what we've all observed on the public broadcasting stations moving more to the right. So now I'm going to declare that we are out of time. We are over time. So I think we have to go to a vote on Vanessa's motion. Does anyone need to have it reread?
Yes, I would, please.
Grace, can you do that for us?
Thank
you.
That.
I think I can do it. Okay, you go ahead.
Okay, I have it. Vanessa Dixon Briggs makes a motion that the Strategic Planning Committee creates a subcommittee that would create some criteria for underwriting.
That good, Vanessa?
I would take the second create out and put develop, only because two creates together just kind of, you know, bothers me. But other than that, it's perfect.
Sure. I agree.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay, I'm going to ask, is there any objection? Hearing none, We'll consider that passed.
James, this is Heather.
Yes.
Go
ahead, Heather.
I just want to tell everyone that I sent the FCC criteria to everyone on the list for underwriting. I sent it from their website.
Thank you, Heather.
Yeah,
I want to note that we now have, by my clock, we have 4 minutes to our time to adjourn. We did not get to the discussion of the strategic plan or to new business and to the other item that we put in about podcasting, which is not on the written agenda, but we added it. So I'm going to entertain any motion that anybody would like to make to extend the meeting. Without prejudice,
I have a suggestion before you do that.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
Well, first off, I think many times at the PMB level, we have discussions about what particular discussions and items belong in what committee. And so my observation is that one of the reasons we haven't gotten to the strategic plan, and this is called a strategic planning committee, is because we talk about so many other things. And the fact that we do have a development task force, I'm not sure if it's met more than once. We do have a programming committee that is meeting. So it would seem to me to be an appropriate place for a discussion to begin for podcasting is in programming. And a good place to start for the other item we didn't get to seems to me would be the development task force. May even be an impetus to actually get more people to get it running. And we concentrate on the strategic plan at the next meeting.
Dwayne, is that the motion?
This is Grace for the stack.
Okay. I heard Lawrence asking if that was a motion and that he would second it if it was. Was that a motion, Dwayne?
Yes, it was.
Okay. And so Lawrence has seconded it. Go ahead, Grace. This will be discussion. Go ahead.
First of all, no second is needed in committees.
True enough. You're right. I apologize.
I would like to suggest, I've been hearing complaints and criticisms from a number of sources that Pacifica doesn't have a strategic plan. And I would like to suggest that we at least start talking about it, and that I'd like to extend this meeting for 30 minutes to start a discussion about a strategic plan.
Point of order, Chair?
What is your point of order, Lawrence?
That's not in order because there's a motion on the floor, I believe. We need to
discuss a substitute motion. I'm putting it forward as a substitute motion.
Well, I don't think that's fair.
And I don't think it's a substitute because it doesn't relate to the motion, right?
Right. You just can't substitute a whole different motion.
Okay, so that means I have to make a ruling.
I don't know.
Thanks a lot.
I'm taking the notes for this meeting. Okay.
Okay.
Can you please tell me what the motion is?
The motion is that we do not discuss the two items we didn't get to, and at the next meeting we discuss the strategic plan.
Chair, this is Lawrence.
Go ahead, Lawrence. Before you go, Lawrence, I want to make sure that Grace, who is acting as our secretary, thank you, Grace, if she got that.
Okay, I got that.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Lawrence.
This is on my request. I'm sorry,
Lawrence, I could not hear that. Say again.
Disregard my request to speak. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Chair, I would like to motivate my motion.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
Okay, I think reasonable minds would agree that we've discussed a whole lot of things in the last several meetings, none of which is a strategic plan. I give the chair credit that the first two or three meetings, we pretty much focused on the strategic plan. But since then,
We've been all over the map. And then there's two additional items here that I think best serve the foundation and this committee and its appropriate committee, which is programming for podcasting and the other item that we didn't get to, which I think is best served in development task force. And notwithstanding the fact that if we're just going to discuss everything under the sun, what Linda suggested, as the chair referred to earlier tonight, which I totally agree, is something that merits discussion. All of this could be part of a strategic plan when it's published, but it shouldn't. Everything shouldn't have to be discussed in the strategic planning committee because it's not its purview per se. Its purview is to come up with a plan. So if we apportion and appoint and suggest and refer these two items to the appropriate committees, they come up with, because I think we have enough on our plate, frankly, and that is to get a strategic plan out. And I don't think 30 minutes out of 2.5 hours is doing the discussion justice. And frankly, I don't want to be on this call another 30 minutes. I think we should schedule our next meeting and commit ourselves to discussing the strategic plan only.
Take a left turn.
Thank you.
I'm flashing more.
No, wait till we see the sign.
Okay, we are actually now out of time. And we did not yet have a motion to extend. So I think we have to go to a vote. Grace, can you call the vote?
And the vote is just to basically take up the strategic plan at the next meeting?
No, the vote is to, I guess, and also not to discuss the other item.
Right. I have, Dwayne Lark suggests that we do not discuss the two items we didn't get to, and I put in parentheses, strategic plan and podcasting, but at the next meeting we discuss the strategic plan.
No, that is not the motion. That is not the motion, because
okay.
Strategic plan just came up. The two items that we didn't get to was podcasting, correct?
That's what I said. I said, Dwayne Lark suggests that we do not... I wrote this exactly as you said it. I just added to clarify it in parentheses. Okay, I said, Dwayne Lark suggests that we do not discuss the two items we didn't get to, and then I put in parentheses strategic plan and podcasting. Close.
Well, let me refer to the chair. Let me refer to the chair. Mr. Chair, what two items? Because I don't have the agenda in front of me, but I don't believe it was strategic planning. What two items we didn't get to on the agenda?
All right, I can clarify that. The two items that we did not get to were the discussion of the strategic plan and the discussion of podcasting. But when we talked about, when you started to talk about what we shouldn't discuss, you used, I think you were going off of what I said, and you used the number two of two items. And so, really, it's just one item.
I'm not normally confused, but the item I wanted to refer to, the development task force, had nothing to do with strategic planning. So there was another item discussed that we were supposed to discuss outside of the pod planning, which I suggest we refer to programming, and the other item that I felt was a development item was not strategic planning, so something's missing here.
That was podcasting was the one item. I don't... Oh, new business might have been the other item.
No, it was a specific item. Well, okay, since no one sees it on there, I don't have the liberty. Maybe it was thrown out in the meeting, but it was not strategic planning. Grace just came up with that suggestion that we extend for 30 minutes to talk strategic planning, but there were two other items, podcasting and one other item, that we were going to discuss, and I remember saying that it would better serve us to refer the podcasting to programming and the other item to development task force. So,
all right,
anyway,
I'm going to repeat.
It may have been underwriting.
I think I may have been underwriting. Well, underwriting we already did discuss. Oh, maybe that was the other item Dwayne was suggesting. I get it, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, there you go. I think that's right.
What was it?
Was it underwriting, Dwayne? Underwriting and podcasting.
No, I'll leave it at that because it was another item that we're talking about underwriting. We talked about underwriting extensively, so I wouldn't have had to refer that to development, although I did say in a previous meeting that I think development ought to be discussing it as well. I don't think the chair agreed with that, but certainly if it does ever get off the ground, that's a place I think is appropriate. But if the rest of you don't remember the second item, fine. I'll just leave the motion there.
Lawrence to the stack.
Are you done, Dwayne?
James, yeah. Alex here.
Go ahead, Lawrence. And I hear Lawrence and then Alex.
I think the third item was a motion that is being proposed. And it wasn't the one I'm podcasting. It was something else that, for some reason, I usually have the memory of an elephant, but today
yes.
I don't.
Yes, it was another item. I know it was.
Okay, I have. I've been taking notes. I have no notation in the agenda or any discussion about any other item. But if somebody can come up with it, meanwhile, what do we want to do? What would you like to do with the wording of this motion?
I hear you, Alex. The secretary or pseudo-secretary is asking a question of Dwayne for her note-taking purposes.
Okay.
We're working on a motion that Dwayne dictated, and I don't think he's happy with the wording that I read. So it's back to you, Dwayne.
Let's just leave it simple. Let's just leave it simple, Grace, that we discuss the strategic plan exclusively at our next meeting? Let's leave it at that. Since none of us, I can't even think of the second item, but I know I'm not that senile that it was a second item.
Point of order.
Go ahead. What's your point of order, Alex?
Point of order is we are out of time. The only thing in order is to vote on whatever motion is on the floor and then adjourn.
I think I have to agree with that.
Okay, so how about this is a simple thing. Let's just say Dwayne Lark moves that we take up a discussion of a strategic plan exclusively at our next meeting. How's that?
Yes, absolutely. Hopefully without objection.
James, do you want to ask if there are any objections to that?
Yeah, I was waiting to see if you had that down. I was waiting for you to say so. Okay, is there any objection to that? Hearing none, that's approved. So that will be the subject for our next meeting. I believe, do we have the next meeting scheduled? I don't think we do.
Yes, we do.
Oh, we do. Okay. Very good. All right. Hopefully,
Alex
will.
Two weeks from tonight. Same time, same
first
station.
Monday. First Monday
okay.
in October.
All right. Good enough. Thanks.
All right, then.
That's Monday, Vanessa.
Personnel committee.
Meets on the 28th. That's Monday.
I already have a meeting penciled in for 2 weeks from today.
Yes.
Yeah, the first Monday of October. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
Okay.
Night, everybody.
We're adjourned. Good night.
All right.
Night.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night.